Are you ready to dip in?
Welcome to the Divine Intervention Podcast. I'm Freya.
And I'm Holly.
And we're here to guide you through spirituality, taboo topics, and everything in between.
We'll dip our toes into some topics and dive deeper into others. Nothing is off the table.
This is a safe space for you, our listeners, to learn, grow, be inspired, and open your heart and mind.
Get ready. Let's take the plunge together.
Welcome back to the Divine Intervention Podcast, episode 10 today, and we're talking all things life updates.
I can't believe we are at episode number 10. We're at double digits, baby. Wow.
Double digit. I love it. Number 10, one of my favorite numbers. Endings, new beginnings. And I feel like it's so fitting, especially with everything that's been going on for you, Holly. Because for those of you listening, Holly is at the moment reporting live from Uluwatu, Bali.
I love that. Reporting live.
Like a news reader.
Oh, it's so nice to actually like chat to you, Freya, though, and see you on video, because for everyone listening, it's been a couple of weeks since we've actually recorded and we've missed each other. So it's so nice to be back on air and chatting and, yeah, giving each other a life update as much as we're giving our listeners a life update.
For sure. We were catching up a little bit before recording and we were just saying, no, wait, don't tell me. Tell me on the episode. So we're so excited to dip into it today. But before we get started on the live updates, we're gonna, as per usual, do the Astro News of the week and the card of the week. So Holly, would you like to start us off with the Astro News?
Yeah, definitely. So pretty exciting. The main Astro News for this week is a full moon happening tonight, Monday the 3rd of July, and it's a full moon in Capricorn. So this energy is really earthly. I know it resonates with you, Freya, as a Capricorn sun.
Yes.
So as our listeners may know from our moon phases episode, the full moon is all about release. So it's a time to let go. It's a time to shed. It's a time to really release things that no longer serve us, things that are weighing us down, holding us back. And then it's a time to celebrate. So this full moon in Capricorn, it's all about releasing anything that's holding us back from working harder, achieving our goals, raising our standards. Capricorn is all about high standards and achievement and goal setting. Capricorn energy is about how the world views you as a person and how you define success. This full moon in Capricorn is really asking you to release any fears, release whatever's holding you back from really striving to achieve the goals that you set for yourself.
I love that. I feel like I really resonate with that. Obviously, my sun is in Capricorn, and somehow I just get really excited when that full moon lands into one of your placements. But I was actually just thinking of this, like, is it more potent for example, Capricorns? This full moon, does it have anything to do with that, or is it just more a sort of theme for that full moon?
I think that's down to the individual. I definitely think it's more potent if you are a Capricorn moon.
Of course.
Yeah. So if your moon sign is the same sign as what this full moon is landing in, then I think you feel it more potently. So yeah, if for our Capricorn moons out there, expect tonight to potentially be feeling a little bit mixed up, be feeling a little bit emotional. And that across the board, that goes for all our listeners, especially the water signs, especially the more empathetic, intuitive listeners. Yeah, full moons can rock anyone. So just be prepared for it.
They sure do. And I like how, once again, it ties in really well with the card of the week. So the card of the week is the Two of Wands. When we're talking about the Suit of the Wands, it's all about the fire element and about the things that set our soul and our heart on fire. Literally all the things that fill you up. And where you feel like, yes, this is what I'm supposed to do. So the Two of Wands comes after the Ace of Wands, in which you will have felt like you've had a breakthrough, Like, you may have just realized this is what I want to do in life. The Two of Wands comes after that and is asking you to take steps directly towards what you want to do. So it's not exactly the same as intention setting like we do for new moon. You have clear what you want and you have invited it into your life. And now you're gonna write a plan, write down the steps that you need to take and really go after it. Dedicate yourself to your dreams in the upcoming week. And I think this flows in beautifully with the full moon, because the full moon, as Holly said, is a super opportunity to let go of things that are no longer serving you. So if you have a dream and a goal, maybe use the full moon on the Monday to sit down and say, okay, what am I doing at the moment that is not helping me get closer to this goal? And there can be very practical steps that you just feel like are not aligning with where you want to go. Release that on the Monday and then spend the rest of your week writing down, okay, this is what I actually can do to get close to the goal. Next to this goal setting thing, the Wands are also a lot about travel, expanding your horizon. And that is definitely something that Holly, of course, is doing at the moment. And I will be heading to Bali myself in a little bit less than 2 weeks as well. So for us, definitely some travel too. It also has a little bit to do with communication, standing up for what you want, being clear about it, telling others, this is my plan, this is my goal, this is my dream. Being vocal about it gives it just so much more energy.
I really resonate with this Two of Wands energy. And yeah, it's as usual, as always, it resonates, it connects with the astrology news. And this full moon in Capricorn, I feel like you really summed up the Capricorn qualities with that Two of Wands being very practical, goal-oriented, very dedicated, disciplined, yeah, very methodical, you know. So it's all of that energy. Really harness that to release what needs to go and then action these steps to really achieve your goals.
Definitely. Yeah, it for sure is sometimes when we have big dreams and big goals, it seems like hard to reach or very far away. And actually writing down practical things that you can do in that moment, one step at a time, no matter how small it is, will really help you get closer to your goals. So we're so excited to see what's ahead for all of you guys.
Yeah, the week ahead. Let's dip into episode 10, an episode all about our life update and kind of what Freya and I have both been up to. So Freya, would you like to kick us off? Kind of let's give our listeners an update with what's been happening in your life and what kind of challenges and trials and tribulations you've been facing lately.
I feel like the last week and a half for me has been one of the most challenging weeks of my life, actually. Obviously, like, health is something that is so important to our life and our happiness and all the things. And we sometimes take it for granted. And then when something happens to yourself or someone around you, you get quite rocked by that and quite shocked by that. So for those listening, as far as I know, I'm perfectly healthy. So it's not about me, but it is about our little podcast baby dog Winston,
our mascot,
the little squeaky voice that has been crying behind the door in a couple of episodes. It was not really well for a little bit. Yeah, it came out of nowhere, really. I hope that people can resonate with this. Fur babies are just as much your own baby. You get so attached to them and you love them so much, and if something's wrong with them, it just rocks you. So yeah, Winston came down. For those who do not know Winston is a 1-year-old Italian greyhound, and he is always the life of the party and happy and energetic and excited. And yeah, he started to feel a little bit unwell on the Sunday to Monday night, because I woke up a couple of times to him squealing. So me and my partner, we thought that I was rolling onto him in the middle of the night. So we woke up, we joked a little bit about it. We were like, oh, you know, you kept laying on him, stop doing that, hee 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 hee, ha ha. And yeah, he just didn't really get better throughout the day. So the next morning we took him into the vet to have a check. While she ran the blood, she did all the tests. She said, I think maybe he has like a little gastrovirus or something. I can't see anything in his blood that is wrong, but he did run a really high 40 degree fever. So she said she couldn't really do anything for us at this moment, and we took him home. My intuition said from the first moment, this is not right. Like, something is seriously off with him. But, you know, you try and listen to the experts and you want to believe that it's okay, but still something in me said like, nah, like, it's not right.
That's your mother's intuition.
For mother's intuition is very strong. And it was ringing. It was saying, it's just not right. So yeah, we took him home for the day, and then he just did not get better. Took him back in on Thursday, stayed the whole day there in the hospital, everything. Then they came back, they said he has a kidney infection, which I was like, okay, sure. It's quite weird for a dog to have a kidney infection out of nowhere, but probably it's fine. So we took him home again on Thursday after he's been at the vet for the whole day, hospitalized on IV, on everything. This little doggy has been turned inside out. Those who know Italian greyhounds, they're not stress resistant. So for him to be there, he would have been absolutely freaking his mind out. Like, when I came to pick him up, I walked into the reception and I could hear him cry and squeal in the back.
Because he heard your voice?
Later it turned out that she exactly said that he could have heard the car and heard your voice, and he has been turning it on. So he probably wasn't crying all day, but for me, I was like, oh no, my little baby is crying. So yeah, they put him on some medication and they had another check with him on Friday and sent him home for the weekend. I had been monitoring his temperature the whole weekend. Luckily I know how to do this from working with the horses, so I was able to keep monitoring him. But this for me was just so freaking stressful, because they said to me, if the temperature comes above 39.5, you need to take him to the emergency. So the whole weekend, I'm like poking and prodding my dog, like taking the temperature, just praying that it was not going to be above 39.5. And then you best believe Sunday evening, of course, hits and it's 39.7.
Oh no.
Best believe. You're home with them all weekend, and then Sunday evening comes and here you go, off to emergency. Got there, and once again, same story. It was the same vet, actually, as I had been seeing during the week. Can't help you. We don't know what is wrong with him. He might have to see a specialist later in the week. At this point, I was just like, oh, I'm so done. Like, it's horrible if there's something wrong, but it's also really bad if you do not know what it is and nobody really can help you, and you just get so tired and you're so stressed and you just want to know what's wrong, because the medication that they had been giving him for like 4 days now was clearly not doing anything. So on Monday, my mother intuition was still strong. I was like, this is not right. So I pushed to see a specialist, which is like, you know, how we have our usual GPs and then we have cardiologists and all that sort of fancy stuff. Luckily, they looked at his files and they called us and they were instantly like, he needs to come in right now. And they ran some tests and he had to be hospitalized for 2 days again. And it's so sad if I think about it. Like, they had to take like a part out of his spinal fluid and everything, and poor little baby. And he was so upset being there, just shaking in his little cage. And they were so sweet to him, though. They really cared for him. And I was able to come in and visit him, like, whenever I wanted. But, yeah, so he stayed there. And then on Tuesday or Wednesday, it was, we finally got the results back. And he had tested positive for SRMA, which is an autoimmune disease. So, basically, the body thinks that there is a virus trying to attack the body, and it causes the brain meninges and the spinal fluid to inflame. So it's pretty severe, And like it really rocked us, because you have like a super healthy dog one day and then all of a sudden you have one with basically an autoimmune disease that attacks his own brain. Like, it was shocking for us. It was so hard to wrap your head around. The key to this disease is to catch it early, and then it's very treatable. So we were freaking out because he had been walking around with this for about 1.5 weeks now, unnecessarily, with an inflamed brain and spinal cord. And luckily, we're still on time, which we're so pleased about. He now has to be on steroids for at least 6 months, and then we're going to have to run the test again and see if it's something that is completely cured, or if it might stay for a longer time, or if he relapses. But for now, we see good signs that he is responding to the medication, which makes us so happy. And yeah, we will probably have a very muscular dog in 6 months with all these steroids going on.
Oh, poor Winston. I feel so, so sorry for the poor little fella. So when you said that he was yelping in the middle of the night and you thought you rolled onto him, like, do you think he was starting to feel pain, like, in his head? Like, is that, like, where you think that was starting?
Yeah, absolutely. So the way this condition works is, she explained it, it will feel for him like his head is, like, weighs, like, 100 kilos. And the neck especially is really sore. So the vet said to me first, oh, he's just like putting it on a little bit because he's such a sensitive dog. But she was like, no, he's actually in so much pain. So we saw that he really responded to, if he would sleep, he would have to get up after and be stiff, and then he would really cry in pain, which was just so sad to see. And obviously, like, you don't want this to happen. You don't want to see your dog, your pet, but also not any of your loved ones in pain. It's just horrible. And there are some valuable lessons, I guess, always to learn, you know, with these experiences. For me, it's definitely a takeaway is trust your intuition. This is also for your personal health. If you go with a concern and a doctor says to you, like, oh, I think it's nothing, or it's just this, but you feel like there's something wrong, get a second opinion. Trust yourself, trust your intuition, and just keep pushing until you get to the bottom of things. And also to just really appreciate the moment you have with those who you love, and to really enjoy that, and to prioritize spending time with them.
Yeah, for sure. I love that you are able to already look at what lessons that you can possibly learn and pull from this experience. How would you say that this experience, while you were stressed and throughout it, how do you feel it affected the other areas of your life? Because I know for me, when something stressful is going on with myself or a loved one, I find it really hard to concentrate on, like, my day-to-day stuff. So how did you manage your stress levels? Like, how did you manage all of it?
Well, for me, like, I really just go into shutdown mode for most things. Like, I definitely put other things immediately on the back burner. I just did not have the mental space to deal with anything of it. So I feel like, especially the social part of my life, I was not responsive to many texts at all. I was just not too present apart from with my partner and, you know, our little bubble that we were in, because I also feel like it's often painful. There is a big part to talking about your experiences with others that can provide you with support and can make you feel heard and seen, or other people resonate with you, which makes you feel not alone. But the other part of it is very painful for me sometimes. It's, as long as I didn't know what was wrong with him, it's every time I speak to someone, they're going to ask, so what's wrong with him? Have you figured it out yet? And every time you hear that, it's like a sort of stab, like, I still do not know what is wrong with him, which makes you freak out even more. So for me, the way I deal with it, I just retreat from, like, social interactions as much as I can. I say to people as well, I do not want to talk about it right now. I will inform you, like, when I know, I will tell you, but I can't really talk about it because I don't want to go cry all day. the whole time. I feel like telling people as well, I'm going through this very, for example, at work, I'm going through this stressful event at the moment. So they know, so they can, you know, tread around it a little bit and just do things that make you feel happy, that make you feel comfortable. I definitely didn't eat as healthy as I could last week, that's for sure. You probably should if you're going through something, but I did not at all. So I'm cutting myself some slack there. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to eat whatever I feel like eating. I'm not going to bother cooking because I'm exhausted and I'm stressed. I have this social arrangement. I'm going to push it to next week because I just can't do it. So I feel like that is the way I deal with that.
Yeah, wow. I mean, it sounds like a really understandable way to deal with things. And I mean, I've definitely had situations in my life where I'm sick to my stomach, but I've not had to experience this, the extent of this sickness with myself or with my loved ones, where you're not, we're waiting on results and you don't know what's going on. And so I feel very fortunate that I've not been through that experience. But I feel like hearing you talk about like how you dealt with it, I feel like this will hopefully resonate with our listeners. Because it's not something that as a friend on the other side, you think you're doing your best to support, you know, your friend being like, you know, how is everything going? How's Winston? Or have you got the results back? And you don't think that on the other side, maybe the other person is like, can we just talk about something else? Because this is like tearing my heart out.
For sure. But the key as well is like, as we spoke about, I think in the earlier episodes, it's about communicating clearly and it's a strength to be able to ask for help and also to communicate what you need in a certain moment. And your real friends and people that care for you will want to accommodate to how they can best help you. And, you know, like I know as well, anyone asking me last week about Winston, I know they come from the best intentions and I'm so grateful that they show interest in it. But it's also good if you're able to say, I just can't deal with that right now. I feel like we have all been in situations where we had a rough day, we're emotional, you know, when the tears are just behind your eyes and someone sees you and they're like, are you okay? What is wrong? And that's always just like the start to the waterworks for me, at least. And sometimes it's really good because, you know, it takes that pressure off and you get that emotional release. But sometimes it's also good to just withdraw a little bit more. So I guess like, let's make it normal to share our emotional experiences, but let's also make it normal to sometimes keep it to yourself for a little bit and deal with it on your own if that is comfortable for you until you're ready to share.
Yeah, for sure. Or feel comfortable and no judgment from others to just say like, I really appreciate you asking, but I just can't talk about it right now. I'm just going to go inward for a while. Yeah. And what you said before as well about just letting other things go that didn't matter, you know, so like the healthy meals or, you know, other things. I think it's definitely a time to just lean into what makes you feel comfortable. So just like comfort food and just like your comfort little bubble with your partner. Yeah, I think that sounded really beautiful and what you needed.
Definitely. And I'm so grateful and so glad that Winston is back on the mend. He's back to his usual tricks, stealing my socks and shoes and everything, which for us is the biggest sign that he's getting better. So we're so grateful and on to new and exciting things. I just said before, I'm heading off to Bali in about 2 weeks and I can't wait to see you there, Holly.
Yay! I am so excited. Can't wait.
It's going to be so good. So I've been to Bali a couple of times and I'm just popping over for a holiday, but Holly is going through, she's just at the start of her spiritual journey of living abroad on her own in beautiful Bali. And I just can't wait to hear your first impressions. How has it been?
Wow, it's been in many ways, not what I expected, and in a lot of other ways, so, so, so beautiful. So my solo time hasn't quite kicked off yet. I'm very fortunate to have my partner traveling with me for the first month. Neither of us have been to Bali before, and so it was a good opportunity for us to just see different parts of Bali, have a holiday together. I think with just life and the pandemic and university and this and that, we just haven't really had a holiday for such a long time. And so it's just been really nice to have the past 2 weeks just on our own timeline and just traveling together and doing kind of normal holiday things like sitting by the pool, sipping a cocktail. So that has been invaluable. But yeah, the real spiritual journey doesn't, for me, my solo spiritual journey doesn't really kick off for another couple of weeks once my partner leaves. Actually, I think my partner leaves and you arrive here in Bali, Freya. So
perfect. Perfect. We're delaying the spiritual journey and letting the fun run for a little bit.
And that is actually perfect because I've had a lot of mixed feelings about actually being here in Bali and mixed feelings about my partner leaving and being here on my own and trying to visualize myself living amongst this culture. And yeah, I think it's a bit of a shock to the system because I would consider myself a well-traveled person. I've been to a lot of different countries. I've done it rough. I've done it nice. So I've seen like other third world countries and whatnot, but I've never had the experience of living overseas. And so that is what this experience for me is all about as well, is just like having that change of pace, getting out of the comfort zone. And it's, I was actually speaking with one of my other friends about this, about how even though I know this is going to be quite uncomfortable for me, emotional and painful at times, there's something inside me that is pulling me to do this. So it's like my soul is yearning to be in a foreign country, out of my comfort zone and by myself. And so that is, I need to keep remembering that I am choosing to be in this situation and this is necessary for my growth and evolution.
Absolutely. For me, obviously, I didn't move to a third world country. I moved to Australia. But for me, I still say moving, you know, abroad and to another side of the world is one of the biggest things you can do for yourself to grow. And I think it's very true what you say. It's not all fun and games. It's uncomfortable. And you're going to have moments where you're like, I want to go home. Like when I was traveling, so just traveling around Asia before I moved to Australia, we had moments, me and my best friend, where we were just like, oh, we're scared. We feel so sick. We don't feel well. It's horrible when you get unwell and you're not home. Like you just want your bed, your Netflix, your homemade meals, just comfort.
And I can speak firsthand by saying that when you are unwell in a country that doesn't have the hygiene standard of your home country, it's daunting. You just want to run home. You just want your creature comforts. You just want a comfortable bathroom, that's for sure. And so my partner and I both got hit with the dreaded Bali belly and we expected it. I think it's literally unavoidable here. I mean, I wouldn't let it scare you off, our listeners, if you're thinking of traveling to Bali. I just think factor it into your plans and give yourself an extra couple of days here and there if you can, because my partner got it first and it wiped him out for about 3 days. And so there was 3 days there where we kind of just relaxed and didn't do a great deal. And then we moved towns and then I got sick and it wiped me out for a good couple of days. And so it actually made me feel really sad because I felt like we were losing time. This is when my fears were really being confronted with feeling like I was running out of time with having my partner here in Bali with me, because knowing that the end was near, well, it had an expiry date, basically. He was going back to Australia after a month. And so I was like, and then I'm all by myself, you know, just little old me. And I really wanted these experiences with my partner, knowing that I would have plenty of time to explore and do all the things by myself. But I don't know why, but I was clinging to these expectations of, you know, having these wonderful Instagram reel worthy moments with my partner. And I was catching myself thinking all these things. And I literally was crying in bed, in Ubud with horrible Bali belly, like couldn't even get out of bed, couldn't even open my eyes sometimes. And I was just like, this is not how it was supposed to go. And so I really had to learn to breathe into it and go, well, this is the reality at the moment. I need to apply some acceptance, kind of sit in the present moment and remind myself that everything is playing out as it's meant to. Everything is happening as it should. There is a reason Ryan got sick. There is a reason I then got sick. There is a reason that we didn't end up getting out and about and exploring more areas of Canggu. Or there's a reason that we've been kind of locked down in our little place in Ubud for a couple of days before we could really get out there and explore. And that is, I think, the hardest thing to do, is trusting that process when you're uncomfortable, when you're sick, when you're upset, when you're just not happy. I was so sad and I felt like an absolute fucking princess because I was just like, I am in beautiful Bali and yes, everyone gets struck down with Bali belly and I'm sitting here just like crying and whinging. And yeah, I guess it's just one of the major first steps to this journey that I'm on with learning more about myself and growing through uncomfortable situations. And it's about releasing that expectation and accepting the path that you're on and knowing that everything is happening as it's meant to. Yeah, that's basically where I was at with the Bali belly.
Yeah. It's always so hard, like you say, when you're away from home and you get sick. Like, it's just really hard. I feel like most of us, like, we try to almost force the hand of the universe a little bit when we go on holiday. We're like, okay, I can't get sick now. Nothing bad can happen to me now. Like, this is my time to shine. Whereas, unfortunately, we can't always have days where we feel 100% amazing and where everything is great. And it's just, you know, it's gonna happen sometimes. And yeah, it sucks, but it's okay too, you know, it is what it is. And luckily, you have the luxury of being there for a longer time. I know it's not with your partner, you know, and of course, you want to make the most of your time together. But like you said, things happen for a reason. And it's definitely typical classical Bali belly. For sure. I've been a couple times. I've only had it once out of the 5 times I think I've been to Bali. But when I went in January, it was not even normal Bali belly. It was like some other gut bacteria. And I was just so, so sick. And I just did not get better. And then when I got back to Australia, like my blood got tested for all these sorts of viruses. And I was so sick for another 3 months. So it is just challenging, but I have to say, here I go again. Like, for me, it's sort of worth it.
There you go. I think for our listeners, I think that's a true testament to how beautiful and fun and amazing Bali is and can be, with Freya having experienced horrific gut problems last time she was here and the flow-on effect of that. But here she comes again. She's jumping on a plane.
Here she comes again. And I feel like the reason why I like going to Bali as well is something that you touched on just before in your story. So when I used to travel like a bit more than I do now, especially to new destinations. And I just have this, how would you say, this crazy expectation, right? I plan everything to a T. I cannot let anything just flow. Every cafe I go to needs to be the perfect cafe with the perfect food. Every restaurant needs to be great. Every beach needs to be the nicest beach. I need to see the sights. Like, it's almost like super controlling the way I get. Like, I want to make sure I see the best of the best and I get the most out of the trip. The reason why I really like going to Bali is because I feel like, obviously, I haven't seen everything, but I've seen a fair bit. And I know what to expect. I know where to go. I have my favorite spot. It's new, so I can actually unwind a lot more and release a lot more. And I don't have any expectations going now. I don't have any plans. I'm like, I'm just gonna chill. And people like when I went in January, we moved around a fair bit, and now I'm going with my parents. They're flying up from the Netherlands, and then my partner's going, and my sister and her partner and my little nephew are coming as well. So it's like a beautiful family holiday for us. But you know, you have other people sometimes like, oh, maybe we should go check this out and go here and then. I'm just like, nah, I do not care if I stay in the same spot for how long that ever that may be. I just want to chill.
Well, and I must say, Freya, you really know your shit when it comes to Bali, because dippers, to all our listeners out there, if you ever want any recommendations for Bali, for Canggu, for Ubud, for Uluwatu, Bingin Beach, please reach out to Freya. And maybe me too after my time here. But Freya has all of the amazing recommendations. And this is, if I don't say so myself, this is Capricorn energy at its finest. Wants the best, finds the best, has the high standards. And every place that you've recommended, Freya, that Ryan and I have gone, scouted out and found, it's just been amazing.
Yeah.
None of the places you recommended gave us Bali belly.
No.
Just note.
No. And once again, like, Bali is so amazing. I do not want people to deter away from it. And the locals there are actually so lovely. And they have been through the hardest time during COVID. Like, I have a ketut or nyoman, like everyone has there, like my driver. And I always use him over, like, since 6 years ago that I came, and we stay in touch. He's just so lovely. And he told me that obviously during COVID for a long time, there was nothing. And most of their jobs revolve around tourism, like his as well, as a taxi driver. And he just said they had nothing. They were literally helping each other, giving each other a little bit of rice and noodles. They ate rice and noodles for like 2.5 years, not having any income. So they needed so much. And as tourists, we really like going there. We like using their beautiful beaches and, you know, nature reserves and everything that they have, the country. We check out the temples. We do all these things. And we should keep doing that to really help them to build a life, because it's hard for them there.
Yeah, I've spoken to some of the locals here, and they said that COVID, the times were so hard, and they're so appreciative of the tourism. The thing they don't like is the traffic. They said the traffic was amazing during COVID because there was no one here, but they're very grateful for how it helps their economy, the tourism. And so, yeah, the Balinese people are some of the most beautiful people that I've ever met. This country is so beautiful. And I just want to talk a little bit about how it's interesting how the universe delivers when you really work on your mindset, because it felt like once I kind of had a big cry, I think this was like day 3 of Bali belly for me. So it's like over a week, I think, where either Ryan or myself had been unwell, and I was so over it by this point. And I just bawled my eyes out at Ryan, and I said, I'm not having a good time. Like, I'm not enjoying myself. Like, I'm not comfortable. I'm not sure if I like Bali. I'm not sure if I see myself living here. And like, once I kind of got that big release by just actually voicing my concerns, actually kind of clearing the throat chakra, having an open, honest conversation with Ryan. And then we just looked at each other and we went, okay, well, let's just get rid of the expectation. You know, like I really feel passionately about this toxicity that comes from social media. And I didn't realize that I'd fallen into the trap by seeing all these beautiful photos and videos and reels of Bali just on Instagram. And I've never been here. So I just had expectations, and I didn't realize I had these expectations until I got here. And yes, Bali is so beautiful, but there are definitely parts where you go, yes, this is a third world country. And so I think this stress had built up for me. And once I got to this point of just releasing this expectation, and I just kind of said to the universe, thank you for putting me in this hard, uncomfortable situation. I will stay in the present moment. I will release my fears, and in doing so, release this expectation and just welcome whatever comes my way and whatever comes Ryan in my way. And this trip will be what it will be. And I kid you not, from the moment we kind of released those expectations, our trip became absolutely amazing. We ate at some beautiful places and didn't get sick. We had some beautiful walks. We went out into the Ubud surrounds with our beautiful driver Yuda, and he just took us to these local beautiful temples and taught us the meditation and taught us the traditional way to do things. And we just got into the wilderness. We went on a crazy quad bike tour, and then we left Ubud and came to Uluwatu, and oh my gosh, we love it down here. We're having the best time. And so I honestly think that it was that mindset shift and just that whole staying in the present moment, practicing that gratitude, and really after having that local experience, I think that's also when our trip started to change. You know, we were in the beginning, we were kind of relaxing at the pool clubs and doing some touristy things, which was beautiful. And then we were just craving connecting with the locals more, and we finally got to do that. And they are just the most beautiful people, and they literally come from nothing, but they will give you the shirt off their back. Like, so, so, so sweet. So yeah, I've got nothing but good things to say about Bali at this point in time. And whilst I'm really sad that my partner will be leaving in a couple of weeks, I'm so excited, Freya, for you to come over to have some gal time. I haven't been traveling with a friend for, gosh, maybe like 4 years. So that's going to be exciting. And actually, the day of our episode being released, as in today, Monday the 3rd, for the full moon in Capricorn, my partner and I will hopefully be in the Gili Islands and finding ourselves a full moon party.
Oh my God, I'm loving that so much. I just wanted to touch on like what you said. I was reminded of this little saying by no one less than the Buddha or Gautama Buddha. Never reply when you're angry, never make a promise when you're happy, and never make a decision when you're sad. And I think it's sometimes when we get in an uncomfortable situation, it's all you can see. And especially when you're sick, it's almost all you can focus on, and you fail to see all the beauty around you. And I remember I had that as well when I was sick in January. I remember saying to my partner at home, because I was there with my friends, I said, I'm never going here again. Cancel the flights in July. I'm never coming back to this. Like, it's just not worth it. If I don't get better in 2 days, I'm getting on the first flight back home. Then you see in a couple of days how, just like you, things change. And then all of a sudden you are like, oh no, you know, I definitely don't want to leave now. So it's just interesting to see how our experiences change. You know, everything can change any moment. And it is sort of part of traveling as well to have those really uncomfortable moments. But I'm so glad that you guys feel a little bit better. And yeah, I feel like Bali has so much to offer for everyone. If you want more a Western vacation, but still in like Indonesian setting, it has great options for that. If you want to dive a little bit deeper with the locals, you can do all of that as well. And it's just such good fun, and I can't wait to get over there. It will be so nice. I've the list ready, the list of the favorites. I'm so stoked. It's gonna be so good.
Yeah, definitely. And I think facing those fears of this trip not meeting my expectations, or these worries about not enjoying my time here and thinking, oh my God, I'm just gonna have to cancel everything and get on a flight home because this is not what I thought it would be. Like, facing those fears and actually vocalizing those things for me was really, really hard and really confronting, because this has been something that I've been working towards for a really long time. When I was still in Australia, I was moving house, and it was a really hectic time, and I kept thinking to myself, I just have to get on the plane. And then after a week and a half or so in Bali, it felt like the dream was cracking, and I was like, how is this cracking? I'm here. And so it was a really hard time for me, but once I really released those expectations, it's just been so, so, so much better. And yeah, exactly what you said, Freya, Bali has so much to offer. And I think it's that you've got to take everything with a grain of salt. You've got to expect to get sick, and if you don't, that's a bonus. I think just be open to whatever comes your way when you step off the plane, and just know that there's so many little hidden treasures if you're willing to go and look for them.
Yeah, and it's really is that comfort mechanism kicking in. Like, obviously you going to Bali is challenging yourself in a major way, And you are, in a sense, searching for that discomfort. You are, by putting yourself out of your comfort zone. And then the universe is giving it to you. And your initial response is, oh, no, 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 but I didn't want this. I didn't sign up for that. I just want to go home. I just want to be comfortable. Where it's all part of what you wanted and what you have been manifesting, really. And I really recognize that, like, not too long ago, because Holly is now obviously away for a little bit, I decided to fill in temporarily in her sound healing classes. So for me, this is not something I have done before, or it has been a very long time that I've been speaking in public in front of people and doing a new, fairly new skill to me as well. And I remember it was such an intentional thing for me to say, yes, I want to do this. And I had no doubt in my mind. And then when the day actually came, I was a little bit nervous. And my initial brain response was like, why am I doing this? Why am I putting myself in this uncomfortable situation? Why do I now have to be nervous for 2 hours when in real essence, there is no need for me to do this sound healing class? My existence is not threatened by if I do this or not. You going to Bali is not threatening you and your life. But still, we decide that we want to put ourselves in this uncomfortable situation. Then obviously we're going to feel uncomfortable. But then it matters what you do in that moment. And I remember saying to you, Holly, and to myself, I said, I'm not going to just give up because I'm nervous to do this now or whatever it may be. I'm going to at least keep doing it until, even at my worst, I find a little bit of comfort. And I feel like that is something that you will experience throughout your Bali journey as well. It's to learn how to breathe and live through the uncomfortable moments and accept that those moments are just going to be there. It's part of it.
Absolutely. And you literally cannot grow, learn, be taught, and evolve without adversity and uncomfortable situations. You know, because if we just lived in our comfortable little bubble our whole life, we just wouldn't grow and we wouldn't heal. And I think that's probably why my soul has pulled me here to Bali, because I have some healing that needs to be done from past traumas and events that I've just bottled up and shoved down and tied in a tight little box, not wanting to deal with. And I have wanting to take myself away from Australia to give myself some space to start to deal with those things and heal them. And in order to get to the point to heal them, I need to be uncomfortable. I need to be triggered. I need to, yeah, basically have these wounds kind of opened up so that I can actually process them and release them. And so, yeah, the big thing to, yeah, exactly what you said, Fry, is to just breathe into these moments when you're feeling like absolute shit, you're feeling uncomfortable, you're feeling like you want to quit, you're feeling like, what's the point? Like, why am I doing this to myself? When you're feeling like that, it's about, like you said, breathing and being present with it and knowing that it's happening for you, not to you.
Absolutely. And this is the reason why I got my first tattoo, which says Anicca, which is, I think it's Buddhist actually. And it's the law of the ever-changing thing and the art of not being attached, not to the bad moments, but also not to the good moments, because everything can just fly away in a second. There's one thing that I want to touch on, because you mentioned before, obviously you are now there with your partner for a month and then you're going to be alone for a little while. So I think it's absolutely amazing that you are in this relationship where you can do that, where you, I'm not saying that it's not normal, that should be normal. That should be very normal. But I know that there maybe are some people listening to this as well that feel like, oh, could I really step away for that long away from my relationship? How do you feel that?
Yeah, look, I think even the most secure, peaceful, happy, strong couples would be tested by this. And Ryan and I have definitely had our ups and downs. And I know I am very, very fortunate to have such support from him to come and spend this time by myself and for him to actually understand and not just think, oh, she wants to just run off on this solo girl's holiday and sleep around or whatever. Thankfully, he doesn't think that, because that's absolutely what is not happening. just to have his understanding and his support is, it means the absolute world. And there has to be trust. There has to be trust here. And don't get me wrong, it's going to test us. I think I even said something today, because it's now less than 2 weeks until he leaves, and it's slowly starting to creep in that he's going to be gone. And him and I are very close. We're very independent people, but we also love being in each other's pocket. not gonna lie about that. And so I said to him, because I think he made a comment to me tonight. We were having an early dinner and kind of watching the sunset, being all cute and romantic and stuff. And he was like, I kind of wish you were going to come home with me in 2 weeks. He's like, but I wouldn't do that to you. I wouldn't ask you. He's like, in fact, I would insist that you stay. And I actually, touching back on what we spoke about before, Friar, I was kind of like, if you had asked me a week ago, I probably would have said, yeah, fuck it, I'm changing my flight, I'm coming home. But I said to him, I was just like, well, I am going to stay, despite me wishing he could stay with me. Yeah, I definitely had a vulnerable moment and just kind of said, well, I hope you don't go home and spend 3 months realizing that maybe you like life without me, and then you break up with me. So I definitely had my insecure moment of, even though I'm the one that's overseas from a picture perfect point of view, looking like I'm having an amazing time and doing the traveling and doing the things, it was actually me feeling insecure about him being at home without me. And so this is going to test us individually majorly, and testing us as a couple. So yeah, I mean, I am such an advocate for solo travel, such an advocate for doing things independently within your relationships. And whilst I'm going to miss Ryan like crazy, I know I need to do this. And I'm probably going to bawl my eyes out several times to him, definitely the day he leaves here in 2 weeks, but several times in the next 3 months, being like, I miss you. I wish you were here, or I want to come home. But again, it's like, he's my safe space. He's my comfort. And so I know that I need to separate myself from him to do this healing. And that's really hard. And I'm so grateful to have a partner like him who understands and supports me with this. That's kind of all I can say.
Definitely. And I have all the faith in the world that you guys will flourish and thrive through this. And it can really be a way to boost your relationship as well, I believe, because it can give a spark too, being away from each other, having all these new experiences, realizing how much you love each other, how much you value each other, missing each other, having heaps of stories to tell, and also knowing that no matter if you're in a different locations, experience different things, that you still have each other to get back to. Sometimes it's really good to remind ourselves as well that even though a situation feels heavy and like you're stuck in it at the moment, it often isn't the case. Like, if you would really be unhappy after 1 or 2 months, you can just get a flight back home and you'll be okay. So it's still nice for you to know that you have that comfort waiting for you at home, and you have something to return to, which is just really nice. And you clearly have been feeling for a long time that this is what you need to do. So I think it's so good that you're doing it, and it's so good that Ryan is supportive of you and that you get to have this beautiful first month together. It's just lovely. Just lovely.
It really is just lovely. And I need to, and I keep reminding myself of that. And I'm really trying hard to be present, because, you know, as someone that has a lot of air in my astrology chart, like lots of Aquarius energy, lots of overthinking. And because of this, I end up not being in the present moment. I'm constantly in the future, or I'm in the past. I'm never in the present moment. And so I'm trying my hardest just to be present and not let these days just fly by. And because I kind of know, before I know it, it'll be November and I'll be home and I'll blink and be like, did I even do that? So I'm trying my hardest to stay present and feel like I'm making kind of the most out of each day, and not by doing too much, but just by being present in every moment and knowing that, like you said, everything's temporary. Nothing is permanent. If everything turns to absolute shit, literally and figuratively, then I can just get on a plane and come home.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, like you said before, it's not like You're hooning around Bali, doing whatever. You're literally between the incense sticks, meditating, eat, pray, love all day, eating nasi goreng. And it will just be such a nice experience for you to, you know, like learn some lessons as well and grow. And you might find ways to be more present. If that is what you're after and that is what you want, then hopefully you can get some relaxation into your life as well, a little bit more, because that is what Bali is perfect for.
Oh yeah, definitely craving that. And I guess I look forward to doing the next life update episode where we can check in with how everything's going with you, Fry, and I can kind of let everyone know where I've decided to base myself. And actually our next little life update will probably be when you're in Bali with me.
Oh my God, yes.
Dippers, let us know. Give us some feedback. Do you want to hear about more about both our journeys? Do you want us to keep you updated? But yes, I can definitely tell you how I'm settling into this Bali experience in the episodes to come.
Yeah, so exciting. Well, that was a little live update from our side, and we can't wait to keep you updated over the weeks to come.
Thank you, everyone, as always, for your continual support. We're so grateful for your love and your listening ears. And yeah, we'll see you in the next episode. We can't wait.
Until our paths align again.
We'll see you at the next dip.